None. I don't think we're going to have any appropriation bills done on time this year. And in fact, it's conceivable we could have another threat of a government shutdown, although they may just pass a simple continuing resolution funding the government at the existing level of spending, given the fact that we have the super committee who will still be working on a big deal to cut now over $2 trillion of government spending. And of course, if the super committee is not able to reach agreement, we'll go into deadlock. I do think that that's probably what's going to happen.
You think we are going to go into deadlock?
I do. I don't think the six Republicans and six Democrats are going to be able to see any meeting of the minds.
So that would trigger the sequestration process of just a straight across the board cuts?
That's exactly right, of $1.2 trillion, plus the additional $447 billion. So we're talking about approximately $1.6 trillion. But it protects entitlement programs, which is what the Democrats insisted upon. But that means that it's all going to come out of discretionary spending. It means that the defense budget will have to be cut by about $75 billion a year, which is going to have a substantial adverse impact, particularly in Northern Virginia. And it means that those so-called seed corn programs of research, education and training, infrastructure are also going to take big hits, cutting way into the bone. So I think things, are pretty bad right now when you look out to the immediate future. But this is a democracy, and I suppose if they're bad enough, then people will insist upon a change in policy direction next year. But in the meantime, I don't see much bipartisan compromise. I don't see it.
I understand that there could be freezes and that there are going to be some probably severe cuts depending on how this all goes down. But the first thing that a lot of our audience members emailed to us and asked us was, are we going to get furloughed? Is there going to be a government shutdown? Remember last time it came like right down to the last possible minute.
Right. You know, it's too early to predict that. I certainly hope not. But I will say that there are an awful lot of people. I really thought in 1995 we had the worst anti-government fervor in the United States Congress that I would ever see. This is worse today than it was in 1995. As you remember, we shut down the government twice, once for a fairly extended period of time. Of course, federal employees were reimbursed retroactively. If the government had shut down last October, I don't think we would have been able to get reimbursement for them. I hope, this last spring, I should say, that's when the CR expired and they didn't renew it until the very last minute. I think our only chance is to get a clean, contained resolution that would fund everything at the existing level and not fight over policy issues, because that policy issue fight will be going on with the super committee, which will report out just before Thanksgiving. And then if we haven't reached a resolve by Christmas, you'll see some very deep sequestering of federal funds. There are several bills, of course, with regard to federal hiring that people should be concerned about, but not as much active employees as future employees. There's one that has a fair amount of currency, which is to say we'll only hire one federal employee for every two who leave, regardless of how needed that particular role is in the civil service. So
we're talking to Democratic Representative Jim Moran of Northern Virginia. Now, the FAA bill that is the current version before the House as of yesterday does not contain back pay for those furloughed FAA workers. So that seems like a precursor. What's the status of that?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a perceptive observation. And, of course, the 4,000 FAA workers, as you say, will not be reimbursed. But there's another 70,000 construction workers in the private sector who were contracted to do work. They were put out of work And, of course, they're not going to get any reimbursement. And this whole thing was done in order to make a political point, because Delta Airlines didn't want to have to deal with a union. And that's what it really came down to. And so then they used as their leverage the idea of shutting down an airport in Jay Rockefeller's state and in Harry Reid's state. And so things started to then deteriorate. And here we've been losing hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue and ticket fees that that passengers are actually paying. It didn't help any American citizens, consumers, but all that money is, rather than going to the government to pay for needed the Air Force airline infrastructure, it's going into the pockets of the airlines. So the airlines are doing just fine. They've got this additional profit center, but it's not helping anyone else. And the issue over which they were fighting is a small fraction of the amount of money that has been lost. So there was no justification whatsoever for the Congress allowing this to happen, and yet it did happen. And if this is any indication of the confidence we can have in rationality prevailing on Capitol Hill, I'm afraid that it's a very discouraging omen.
Last question. Is the post office going to survive the year?
I feel very sympathetic towards the Postal Service. You know, there's no agency that has been required to take out of its revenue flow money for its pension system and put that aside. We don't require it of anyone else. Now the Postal Service is having to cut, to make major cuts, which of course is going to undermine people's trust and confidence in it. They're probably going to, you know, eliminate the Saturday service entirely. You don't see many post boxes, any mailboxes anymore, and I think they're going to cut back in a way that it's bound to negatively influence service. And so again, I think the long-run determination is to privatize postal delivery, so far they're winning. I would hope that enough constituents are going to contact the members of Congress and say, hey, look, we like the Postal Service. Keep it going. Don't do this to them, because when you do this to them, you're doing it to me and my family and my business and my community.
Now, the Postal Service is only asking for Congress to let it delay or postpone payments to the FERS, to the Federal Employee Retirement System, so that seems like an easy step to take.
You would think that would be an easy step, simply to delay payments, and I would support that.